When you want something, when you need something, and when that something is being delayed, you might feel annoyed. You know, one of the things that really annoys me personally is driving behind a slow car in the right lane, and there's another slow car on the left lane, so I'm stuck. You've been there, and I know that I am not the only one who feel annoyed by that. When you have something, when you need something, when you want something, and when that something is being delayed, you might also feel frustrated. You know, I go to fast restaurants not for the quality of the food. I don't go to the fast restaurants not even for the price. I go there for what? For fast service. And I feel so frustrated when I'm stuck in the drive-thru. Doesn't that just frustrate you? I know it does sometimes, okay? When you want something, when you need something, and when that something is being delayed, sometimes, isn't it true, you feel disheartened and discouraged, even devastated. You need something, you want something, and it's not frivolous, but that something is not being met, that is being delayed. Think of a time when you are looking for an employment. You just got laid off, and you've been praying, waiting on God. God, if you're there, can you give me a hand? Can you please help me out? And you feel like that prayer is being delayed. The answer to your need and your circumstances is not being met. What if you are looking for a relationship? Some of you are in your 20s, some of you are in your 30s, some of you are in your 50s, and then you've been waiting for that someone special. And you may have gone to God, perhaps. You may have prayed, oh Lord, I know I put my trust in you, and I pray. And I'm being the right person. I'm not looking for just the right person. I am being the right person. So would you please open doors for me? When that's something you need, when there's something that you want, is not being met, it's being delayed, you might feel devastated. Some of you have been there in terms of your health. If not for yourselves, then for your loved one. Perhaps your mom, perhaps your child, and you prayed. Oh God, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I believe that he has the power to heal. So would you please, please come and heal my loved one. And when that prayer is not being answered, when that healing is being delayed, you feel frustrated, devastated, and sometimes so, so discouraged beyond hope. Isn't it true that you have been there? Isn't it true that you know someone who is going through that tough time right now? When you need something, when you want something, and when that is being delayed, there is a void and there is much, much frustration. Here's what I want you to remember. Here's the theme and the goal sentence for the whole thing today. When Jesus delays, have faith and take his hand. When Jesus delays, have faith, take his hand. I want to introduce to you two persons from the Bible. First person is a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years, and the second person is a man by the name of Jairus. Okay, so let's go there. Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 40. Okay, and here is how the story starts. A true story. Now, look up here. Whenever you hear the word, read the word now in the Bible, that means you have to go back before that passage and find out what just took place. So what happened was Jesus began his campaign. He began his ministry, and it was out of the gate a racing horse. He began healing people supernaturally. He began teaching the wisdom and the power of God supernaturally, and he was setting people free from bondages, demon possessions. It was an amazing, amazing campaign takeoff. And everyone came to Jesus. His popularity and his fame was going up and to the right in an incredible pace. Okay? So that's what has happened. So now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. They all heard about Jesus Christ. Then a man named Jairus and his occupation. A synagogue leader. Synagogue is like, think of a church nowadays, but 2,000 years ago. So he was responsible for the synagogue, the church. He came and he fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus, and he was pleading and asking for this request because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. She was close to dying, not in days, but within the hour. It's a very urgent matter for Jairus. So Jesus decided to go and help him out. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. In Mark's account of the gospel of this story, he says she spent all of her money on doctors, and yet no one could heal her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" When they all denied it, meaning he asks, now picture this. The crowds are there. Jesus is going to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, and then they're walking, and all of a sudden on the tracks, Jesus stops, and he says, "Who touched me?" Andrew says, "I didn't touch him. Did you touch him, Tony?" Tony says, "No, I didn't touch him. Did you touch him, Bonnie?" "No, I didn't touch him." They all denied it. And here's my Pete. Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. What do you mean, who touched you? Everyone is touching you." But Jesus said, No. "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at Jesus' feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Okay, now let's read together verse 48 in one voice. "Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.'" Okay, now, great day for the woman, but the worst day for Jairus. Remember how the story began? He is on a mission to bring Jesus to his home. Why? Because his only daughter, how old is she again? 12, sixth grader, maybe a seventh grader. She was dying at home, and she is within minutes, perhaps, from death. And Jesus said, "I will go and help her." And all of a sudden, he's taking his time. He's thinking about healing this woman. Can you go into the mind of Jairus? Can you sympathize with him? Jesus, will you hurry up? You can heal the woman after you heal my daughter. Her life is not in danger. I am sympathetic towards her bleeding and her circumstances, but you could certainly heal my daughter first and come back and heal the woman. Here's the worst nightmare. Verse 49. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and he said, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Friends, don't you ever feel that way sometimes? You need something, you want something, and it's not frivolous. It is important and it is urgent, and you feel like God is delaying himself from coming to you, from helping you with it. I can sympathize with Jairus. His one and only daughter, the age of 12, is this close to dying. And Jesus says, "I'm going to spend time here, and I'm going to find out who touched me." Who cares, Jesus? In the world of emergency, this is called malpractice. Isn't it? Okay? Malpractice. If I were Jairus, I would sue Jesus and get a lot of money from him because he did something that was so unthinkable. Yes, from Jairus' perspective, we can be empathetic and sympathetic. Yes, the woman needs Jesus' help, but can't you heal her after you save my daughter first? What is more important and what is more urgent? And not only that, Jairus, he's a good man, isn't he? What's his occupation again? A thug? A crack dealer? No. He's a godly man. He believes in God. He does good things for people. He's a synagogue church ruler, a leader, like a pastor, if you will. And he feels, God, I thought I'd been faithful to you, and I have one plea, and you deny it. Can you empathize? Can you sympathize with Jairus? He felt like, I am sure, God, you could have, you should have, but you didn't. You had the power to heal, so you could have healed my daughter. You should have healed my daughter because she matters to you, but you didn't. God, you could have, you should have, but you didn't. Let's talk about the woman. What do we know about her? She's been bleeding for how long? 12 years. Now, as a man, I must admit, I don't know what it feels like to suffer from such a condition, medically speaking. But here's a woman who has been bleeding, hemorrhaging, not for some time, for long 12 years. So practically, she was desperate. Now, can you imagine? I know this for a fact. Nowadays, even today, I have read newspapers in the country of Uganda. There's an activist raising her voice out on behalf of the young girls, saying, our young girls need menstrual pads. Because when they don't have those, it affects them tremendously in everyday life. So she has been the voice, the activist, saying, we need to provide menstrual pads for these young girls. So here's a woman who's been suffering from bleeding for a long 12 years. So practically, her daily life, her daily living has been affected. And financially, she was desperate too. She has spent all of her savings on doctors, and no one could heal her. But you know, what's even worse for this young woman, for this woman is, not that she was practically affected by this, not that she was financially affected by this, but more importantly, she was affected by the bleeding in terms of relationally and also spiritually. Here's what we know, okay, about bleeding. Let me take you to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, in the Old Testament, is a very strange book, okay? It is filled with regulations and do's and don'ts. The whole book is about spiritual holiness, is symbolized by our physical perfection. Let me repeat that. Your spiritual holiness before God is symbolized by your physical perfection. For example, when you would offer an animal sacrifice, the animal has to be perfect. It can't be lame, it can't be blind, it can't be missing limbs. It has to be a perfect sacrifice, symbolizing that your physical perfection is required in terms of your holiness before God's presence. God is holy, but we are unholy. God is clean, but we are unclean. God is sanctified, but we are defiled. So here's what we know. In Leviticus chapter 15, let me read for you, verse 25, and you will see this on the screen. Please don't be offended. I did not make this up. It's in the Bible, okay? And for the ladies, show me some patience. I'll get to the men in a second, okay? Okay? When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time, other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be declared unclean, spiritually speaking, as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. And as a consequence, such a woman, if you are bleeding, if having your monthly menstruation, you are banned from entering God's holy temple. And as a Jewish person, as a Hebrew, God's temple was the central place of your living, of your life. And so you were banned from that holy presence. You wanted to go before God's presence and receive God's blessing, but you were kept away because of this condition. And all of you are saying, ladies, objection, Your Honor, it is so unfair. Well, let's get to the men, shall we? Let's hit them hard. Here's what we know about men as well from the book of Leviticus chapter 15, okay? Excuse me, it's Numbers. The Lord, Leviticus, it's Numbers. Anyhow, it's okay. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when any man has an unusual bodily discharge, such a discharge is unclean. Whether it continues flowing from his body or is blocked, it will make him unclean. This is how his discharge will bring about uncleanness. Meaning, just like the woman, so are men. Your physical perfection symbolizes your spiritual holiness. So you are banned from God's presence as well. What's the point? Not only was the woman financially desperate, not only was the woman practically desperate, but she was also relationally desperate. Can you imagine? No one could touch her. I wonder if she had family members and they couldn't give her a hug. I wonder if she had children and they couldn't receive a hug from their mom, because if she hugged them, if she touched them, what happens to them? They also become unclean, defiled, and they can't go into God's presence either. Can you imagine how relationally starved she must have been, if that were the case? But it gets even worse. Spiritually speaking, she was declared unclean, defiled, unfit to enter the presence of God's holy temple. For 12 long years, she was kept from worshiping God. She was kept from rejoicing in God's presence. Desperate time. I wonder how she felt. I wonder if she felt similarly the way Jairus felt. God, you could have, you should have, but you didn't. You have the power to heal me, but you didn't. You should have healed me because I put my trust in you and I'm obedient to you, but you didn't. You could have, you should have, but you did not. So what do? When God delays, when Jesus delays, what do? You need something, you want something, but that's being delayed from you. What do? What can I do? When Jesus delays, two things. Have faith, take his hand. Have faith and take his hand. Let's continue with the story. Verse 50. So Jairus was just told, don't bother the teacher because your girl is dead. Verse 50, hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. Don't be afraid, because I know you're afraid, Jairus. Believe, have faith in me, and your daughter will be healed. She will live again. And they began walking together. I don't know how far they walked together. Was it a mile? Was it a 10 mile? But I bet you all my money in my wallet that it was the longest walk that Jairus took, because he was torn. My girl's dead. Jesus says, believe, have faith in me, and she will live. Can I? Should I? Can God? Should God? Verse 51. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, Jesus did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people are wailing and mourning for her. Maybe there were flowers. Maybe her friends came from school. Maybe there were postings on Facebook. We love you. We miss you. Our prayers are with you. They're wailing and they're mourning. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, stop wailing. She's not dead, but asleep. They all laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. She did die medically. She did die really. She's dead. She stopped breathing. There was no pulse. Her heart stopped beating. She is gone. And they laughed at Jesus. Let's read verse 54. This is a key phrase. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. What did Jesus say? My child, get up. But before he said that, what did he do? He took the girl by the hand. And here's what happened after that. Verse 55. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished. I bet they were. but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Friends, when Jesus delays, have faith. Have faith in him and take his hand. What is faith? I believe here's a classical definition of what faith is. Faith is putting your trust in the words of Jesus. And therefore, faith is not passive. It is active. Faith is not timid. It is bold. Faith is audacious. Listen, what did the woman do? The bleeding woman. What did she do? She had spent all of her money on the doctors and she wasn't healed. And she put her faith in Jesus Christ. If I could only touch the edge of his cloak, I would be healed. And for that, she had to push the crowds away. Excuse me, pardon me, I have to get through, excuse me. And then she moved her way in towards Jesus. And she went behind Jesus. It is all active. Her faith is active and bold. And she reached out and touched the edge of his cloak. Friends, that's a bold faith. That's an active faith. What did Jairus do? He came and he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and he pleaded, Jesus, will you save my daughter, my only daughter? She's only 12. Her future is ahead of her. Would you please help her? Please. That's faith, active and bold. And what about after hearing that his daughter has died? Jesus says, let's walk back home together. Believe in me, and your girl will live. And on that walk, I wonder what he was feeling. I believe he was torn. I know that my daughter's dead, but Jesus says, have faith in me and believe, and my girl will live. Now that, holding on to their faith every step of the way, choosing to believe, that is an active, bold faith. Here's my question to you. As you feel the delaying of God's deliverance in your life, whatever that may be, you have the same thoughts and same feelings. God, you could have helped me. God, you should help me, but you haven't yet. What do you do in the meantime? As you wait upon the Lord, as you wait on God, what do you do? God says to you, have faith in Jesus Christ. Active, bold faith. Not passive, but strong. Are you pushing your way towards Jesus Christ? Are you pushing the crowds away? Excuse me, pardon me. I have to get to Jesus. That's an active faith. Do you throw yourself at the feet of Jesus Christ and cry out, if you don't help me today, if you don't come through, I am finished. That's an active, bold faith. Do you hear Jesus' words? Come with me, Jairus. Let's walk home. Taking one step at a time, that's an active, bold faith. What does it look like in your circumstances? Personally and practically, what would that faith look like for you in your case as you wait? Now, here comes the touch. Jesus, before saying to the girl, child, get up and be healed. What did Jesus do? He reached out and touched the girl by the hand. Friends, this is so, so, so important. And here's why. Let's put Numbers chapter 19. Here's another law in the Bible, okay? Whoever touches a human corpse will be declared unclean, defiled, unfit for God's presence for 7 days. They must purify themselves with the water on the third day, and on the seventh day, then they will be clean. They will be declared clean. But if they do not purify themselves on the third day and seventh days, they will not be clean. If they fail to purify themselves after touching a human corpse, they defile the Lord's tabernacle, his temple, his presence. They must be cut off from Israel because the water of cleansing has not been sprinkled on them. They are unclean. Their uncleanness remains on them. Therefore, they cannot enter into God's presence. They were kept away. Jesus, knowing all this, what does he do? He reaches out and touches the hand of the dead person. He knows immediately he is declared unclean, unfit, defiled himself. But by so doing, he heals the young girl. Interesting thing. In the Gospels, you read time and time again, Jesus healing people just by saying, speaking the words, "Yo, be healed." Time and time again, we see Jesus using his authority, saying, "The evil spirits, leave, depart from him." Time and time again, he only uses the power of his word. He doesn't have to touch to heal anyone. And yet, in this case, purposefully, he reaches out and touches the girl. It's as if a transaction is taking place. They were unclean, but by the touch of Jesus, they become clean. They were defiled, but by the touch of Jesus, they become sanctified. They were dead, but by the touch of Jesus Christ, they become alive. It's as if Luke is trying to convey to you and me, does Jesus care? Yes, he does. Does he have the power to heal you? Yes, he does. Does he always come through instantly? No, he doesn't. But when he does so with the touch. He says, "My life for your death. My holiness for your unholiness. My sanctification for your defilement." It's a transaction. And it's a wonderful thing. And no one does this for us except Jesus Christ. So friends, what do you do? What do I do? What can we do when Jesus delays? We have faith and we take his hand. Application number one. Therefore, let's have faith in Jesus Christ. It's an active faith, bold faith, not passive and timid. It is moving. It is acting. Faith is a verb, not a noun, therefore. So in your case, have faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, take the hands of Jesus. Take the hands of Jesus. He is reaching out to you, and he's saying, "Take my hand. I'm going to give you my power by touching you. I'm going to remove your guilt and shame by touching you. I'm going to put my joy in you by touching you. You will become alive by me going into the grave. I'm going to hold your hand." So have faith in Jesus. Take his hand. And lastly, go reach out and touch someone with Jesus' cloak. Friends, this is a series called Go. God's call for ordinary people for everyday life. Here's the thing. Everyone that has been touched by Jesus Christ, Christ says, go. Go and reach out and touch someone else. What did God say to Abraham after touching him? God said, "Abraham, go and go bless someone." What did God Moses? What did God say to Moses? "Moses, I'm going to touch you with my power, and I'm going to say, go to Pharaoh and set my people free." Every one of you who has been touched by Jesus Christ, he says to you, go, go, reach out and touch someone. In a moment, here's what we're going to do. Amika will come up and she's going to play a song and she's going to teach a song for us. And in the course of the time, you will come to those two tables, one at a time, and you're going to receive a piece of cloth. As if, imagine this is an edge of Jesus' cloak. Take it in your hand. Return to your seat. Keep it in your pocket. Keep it in your purse. Hang it in your rearview mirror. And remind yourself every day, Jesus touched me. He touched me. He took my sins away. He healed me. And therefore, I'm going to go touch in someone else. I'm going to tell someone what Jesus has done for me. You might want to give this cloth to that person saying, "Hey, I want to leave this as a reminder for you, for God's power in my life and what he can do for you in your life as well." And lastly, you wait, you have faith, you take Jesus' hand, but you are still not healed. God hasn't come through yet. What do you do? Friends, God's timing sometimes is hidden. We don't know. I don't know why God took 12 years to heal this woman. I don't know why Jesus didn't heal the girl first and come back and heal the woman. I don't know, but this I do know. Jesus at the end received all the glory from everyone, and they were empowered. Here's God's promise to you. As you wait, as God delays, remember, when the day comes, you will see the power and the glory of God, and your faith will become refined in the fire. Would you pray with me? Let's close our eyes together. I want to give you time to reflect and apply what you have heard. Do you see the hands of Jesus reaching out to you, touching your hand? Do you see it? Do you feel the power of his holiness, the power of his majesty, and he's touching your hand? Do you find it hard to take that step of faith as you walk? Receive all that. Take all that. And would you just respond in your own hearts silently? Say back to Jesus, "Lord Jesus, as you delay, I choose to have faith in you, and I choose to take your hand. As you delay, I will exercise strong, bold, active faith, and I receive your touch." Amika will sing it the first time, and as you receive it, as you listen to it, pray in your heart, and one by one, I want to invite you to come to the table and take a piece of cloth and return to your seat until further instructed. Pray for yourselves. Perhaps you want to pray for someone else who is dear to you, someone important, someone whom you love and care. Pray for them. Feel the edge of Jesus' cloak in your hand and pray that Jesus would touch them as well, and that they would also take Jesus' hand. Let's continue with our prayer now. So let's agree throughout the day, we will keep this edge of Jesus' cloak, so to speak, in somewhere close, okay? In your pocket, in your purse, in your car, pin this somewhere, and remind yourselves that Jesus touched you and you are changed again. So brothers and sisters, friends and guests, when Jesus delays, have faith and take his hand for today, for tomorrow, and for the rest of your lives. And let us make a difference for our neighborhood, for our city, and for the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God's people say together, Amen.